Hello, everyone. May I start by making a confession? I have your attention, don't I? Oh, a pastor is going to make a confession publicly? Hey, do me a favor. Just keep this to yourself. This past week, I was coming out of a grocery store after shopping, and I saw an elderly gentleman using a walker. And he was trying to navigate going from the sidewalk into the parking lot so that he could get into his car. One of his walkers he was pushing had a basket. He had grocery shopping items in it. You get the picture, right? And I really wanted to help. He was struggling. He was navigating in the snow. But I froze. I didn't know what to do. Two thoughts came. I want to help, but I thought, what if he didn't feel comfortable receiving my help because of the COVID? Maybe he feels unsafe receiving help from a stranger. Second thought, I thought about myself, not so much for myself. My wife is immune compromised, so I thought about her well-being. If something happens to me, then what's going to happen to my wife? So at that moment, even though I wanted to help the man, I just froze and stood there like this, completely frozen. And that 2 seconds felt like eternity. And you know what happened after that? Do you know what happened? You want me to tell you what happened? Another man walking by simply said, "Excuse me, sir, would you like some help?" That's all he took. And the gentleman said, "Oh, thank you kindly, but no thank you." That was it. So I reflected on this. So here's my confession. Why did I freeze? Why did I lack the courage to serve? I wanted to serve, but I was afraid. Maybe he was afraid. Can you relate to my experience? I think I'm not the only one about this, because let's be honest. Time for your confession. Maybe you want to help others. I mean, this is the season of helping others, right? Putting the interests of others before that of ours. That's what serving is all about. Not to be so concerned about my well-being, my interests, but we want to put the interests of others, serving others. And that's why I am so eager to talk about this courage to serve in this season. We are in the series called Home for Christmas. And last week, we talked about the courage to persevere. Those of you who missed that, you can simply go to our website and have access to that. It was a good message, so I heard. You see the ornaments behind myself on the trees? I made all those ornaments using the supplies from the kit that you have received. So look into that, because there's lots of things, not only for yourself, but ideas, opportunities for you to serve others. Case in point, you'll find a candy cane, and there'll be a ribbon, and there's a poem, and you put all these things together, and you bring it over to somebody else, someone in your neighborhood, someone on your street, someone down the hall in your condo building. They will be inspired by the words in the poem. So, would you like me to start with a story? Today, we're going to focus on what? The courage to serve. And I'm going to take you to a really familiar story about Christmas. It's about Joseph. So let me open this really... Oh, you know, my legs are falling asleep from the weight of the book. The author of the book is Matthew. And Matthew starts in chapter 1 by saying in verse 18, "Now, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law." Let me repeat that. This is really interesting. "Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." So what do we know about Joseph and Mary? What do you think? They grew up in the same town, small town together. And they had known each other. Their families had known each other. Their parents. Yeah, of course. and they were engaged. Now, in those days, a more accurate description of their relationship is not so much engagement as you and I know it today, but much more binding. They were betrothed. We don't use that word anymore nowadays, do we? But they were betrothed, engaged. The difference between nowadays and back then, their engagement was legally binding, relationally binding, socially binding. They were as good as being married without the sexual intimacy, and they weren't living together. That was the only difference. Now, how do you suppose Joseph must have felt when Mary came to her and said, "Joseph, I'm really sorry, but I'm innocent. I am faithful to you. I kept my word to you and to me and before God, as God is my witness. I am innocent. However, I am pregnant. An angel of the Lord told me that by the Holy Spirit, I would be with a child." Do you think Joseph believed her? How do you suppose he felt? I think he must have felt one of the strongest emotions that you and I have when someone betrays you, the sense of betrayal, because they have given, exchanged their vows, their commitment. "I love thee and none other, and you me and none other." They were bound. I think Joseph must have been devastated, devastated. Wouldn't you have been if you were in his shoe? So, what was he going to do? He was going to divorce her quietly. Now, what was the description that Matthew used about Joseph? He was a faithful man to the law. What that meant was he was very, very devoted to keeping the law of God as revealed in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Oops, the tree fell. Focus. Where was I? Yes, back to Joseph. Even though he was faithful to the law, yet, listen to that preposition, yet he did not expose Mary to the public disgrace. What Joseph should have done, because he's faithful to God's law, he should have exposed Mary to the public disgrace as the Bible taught him. Yes. That was what he was supposed to do. However, he did not expose Mary to that public disgrace, so he wanted to divorce her quietly. I think he was an honorable man, don't you? Well, what's going to happen after this? Shall I go on? Yes, let's go on. Verse 20. But after he had considered all this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife." Why not? "Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Strange dream, don't you think? Let me do this imagination with you. Let's just imagine. If you were Joseph, and you found Mary to be pregnant, and you have this dream, and in it, an angel told you, "Hey, take Mary home. The child that she's carrying is conceived by the Holy Spirit. She is innocent." Now, let me take you to the historical context. What I'm saying is, if Joseph obeyed the angel as he saw and heard in the dream, what would have happened to him? Now, he would have lost his business. His occupation was a carpenter. He would have lost his friends relationally, and he'd have lost much personally about his honor, his namesake. Let me explain. In those days, people who were faithful to the law of God, faithful to the commandment of the Bible, they only intermingled, associated with other faith people who were faithful to God's law. Okay? What that meant was, as soon as Joseph takes Mary home and everyone finds out, hey, did you hear what happened to Joseph? Did you hear that his fiancée Mary got pregnant? And did you hear that he took her home? He should have divorced her. He should have gotten rid of her. But instead, if Joseph was obedient to the angel, he would have lost his business. He would have lost his friends. His friends would have befriended him. Like sometimes that happens to you on Facebook, right? You got defriended, right? And also, personally, Joseph would have lost his honor. That he was a man who was faithful to God's law, and yet, because of taking Mary home, he would have lost all that reputation, his namesake. He had another choice, right? Ignore the dream and simply divorce Mary. Now, let me ask you, do you have strange dreams? Yeah. Would you put your life on stake? Would you stake your life, rather, would you stake your life simply on a strange dream? No, you wouldn't. I wouldn't. In fact, let me tell you this. Neither did Joseph. Huh? You say? Correct. Joseph did not obey the angel because he had a dream. He obeyed the angel in the dream because of something else. You know what that is? Would you like to know? Well, let's continue. Verse 22, Matthew tells why Joseph obeyed the angel. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. That is to say, he did not have a sexual intimacy with Mary until the birth of the child. And he gave him the name Jesus. Why did Joseph listen to the angel? Not because of the dream, but because of what the Bible said. See, I told you. He was faithful to the law. He was familiar with the Old Testament, the Bible. He was familiar with the book of Isaiah, the prophecy regarding the Messiah. A virgin will be with the child. Ah, can I tell you what this means? Joseph interprets the dream according to the scripture. See, some of us, we have dreams and we say, oh, God said this. Oh, God is leading us with this. Well, you must ascertain that through the scripture. I mean, think about it. You've had strange dreams. What would have happened if you acted upon them? Oh, you have already. Oops. Not good things happen, huh? You see, dreams must be interpreted by the scripture. Let me ask you this. How well do you know about the scripture? How well do you know the Bible? This is really important. Because unless you know what the Bible is saying, unless what God is saying to you in the good book, then you won't be able to interpret your dreams or signs or circumstances. God's word is true. God's word is objective, unlike dreams. Back to the story. Joseph did obey the angel because of what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The Messiah will be born by a virgin. Now, let me land a plane. Let me bring some applications. Here's what I believe the lesson is for us. Today, I believe Jesus is saying, hey, you could have courage. You should have courage to serve because I am your newborn king. Because I'm your king, you will have courage to serve. What kind of king is Jesus? Matthew tells us this. In verse 1 of chapter 1, he starts by saying, this is the genealogy, or the same word is the birth. This is the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David. And Matthew picks up on that. In verse 18, he began the story by saying, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. Joseph, the son of David. What is the significance of that? Joseph, the son of David. Ah! Matthew's saying, the child that Mary is going to give birth to, that is the Messiah, king, the anointed king, and is reference to, it's a reference to the King David. The scripture has been saying for centuries, a king will come, the Messiah, the anointed king will come from a virgin. And it's in the lineage of the King David. This is the king to be born. Yes, this child is a king. But more than that, not just any king, but a divine king. Matthew keeps saying the child that Mary's carrying was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He repeats that twice. This is what we mean by the supernatural birth, or the conception of Jesus Christ, rather. Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? It means Jesus the King is wholly divine. This is no ordinary child. God came to us in a form of a baby king. Wholly divine, sinless, righteous, holy, majestic, Jesus. You know, this teaching about Jesus being wholly divine, this is very, very unique to the Christmas story. I once heard of a Jewish rabbi saying, you know, you Christians talk about Jesus being holy and divine. You know, God came all the way down from heaven and became one of us, and he walked with us, and he can empathize with our suffering. Oh, that is an amazing theology, amazing story. I want to believe it. But I just can't. It's too good to be true. I heard this Jewish rabbi saying that. This is an amazing story. Jesus, the newborn child, is a king, and this king is also divine, God, and also it's a serving king, serving king. What was the name that Joseph was to give the child according to the angel? Jesus. You know what that means? It means God will save his people from their sins. In Matthew chapter 20, we hear Jesus saying, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give himself as a ransom for many. That's right. Jesus, the God King, was born to take away your sin, my sin. How? As a ransom. He took your sin, my sin, and he died on the cross. It's a substitutionary atonement. Fancy word, which means he took our place on the cross. He died the death that you and I should have died, by taking upon himself all the wrong things that we ever have done, we will ever do. That's a serving king, Jesus the servant. So here's what I believe. Joseph had the courage to serve. Serve whom? Serve Mary. He put her interest before that of his, because he believed the scriptures that this king, the God King, who is to be born, is going to serve Joseph as well. So when he put his trust in this newborn king, he was able to have the courage to serve Mary by taking her home. And for that, for the rest of his life, he paid the price. Yeah, that's right. If you read through the Gospels, you will never hear Joseph being referred to as Jesus' son. Nuh-uh. It keeps saying, the Bible keeps saying, Jesus was the son of Mary, whose husband was Joseph. And people always thought of Joseph as the husband of Mary, who had this child outside of the matrimony. He paid the price. But again, he had the courage. So let me give you three applications by a way of closing. You could have the courage to serve others right now, today. Number one, because Jesus is serving you. He is serving you. Remember, his name is Jesus. For he will take away your sins. Christmas is a wonderful story. And it's true because we realize, we believe, we recognize that you and I, our sins have been atoned for, forgiven, because Jesus is serving you. Friends, I don't know where you are at with respect to Jesus, but this is what I believe. He wants you to know, I serve you. Jesus serves you by taking away your sins. Have you come before Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him, thank you for serving me, my King, my God, for taking away my sins upon the cross? Have you done that? If you haven't, this is your day. Let Jesus, the newborn King, serve you. Second, you can have the courage to serve others because Jesus is suffering with you. The word Emmanuel. What does that mean? It means God with us. This God, Jesus Christ, this King, Jesus Christ, he is suffering with you. He is suffering with you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your pains. And he does not stay aloof. He does not stay outside of your brokenness. Rather, instead, he comes into your brokenness. He enters into your pain and your suffering. And he says, you are not going through this alone. I am with you. Doesn't that encourage you? Doesn't that give you courage? Knowing that God of the universe is walking in your brokenness, walking, suffering with you. He is experiencing your pain together, together, together. And because God is suffering with you, your pain will not be wasted. Remember this. Jesus, the newborn King, the suffering Messiah, he will never waste pain. He will bring something good. You may not know it. I may not know it. But he will bring about something good out of your pain and suffering. So you can have courage to serve others today because Jesus is serving you. Second, Jesus is suffering with you. And third, Jesus is sending you. That's right. He is sending you to serve others. Just the way how Joseph served Mary, we can have the courage to serve others. I don't have the permission to reveal this person's name, but this person, this week, is making dinners. Why? Not for herself. She's making dinners so that she could bring them to others in her life. More specifically, frontline workers. She's going to bring dinners to nurses, school teachers, people who are needing courage. And she's doing all that. Why? Because she has the courage to serve, because Jesus is her serving King. In the book, The Rise of Christianity, written by Rodney Stark, Rodney Stark is a sociologist and a historian. He explains how the church, the Jesus movement, Christianity, rose in the early in history, particularly in the first five centuries. In the year 165, there was a huge epidemic that cross-swept the Roman Empire. 15 years into the pandemic, one quarter of the population succumbed to the disease. Now, it was during these really, really difficult times, it was the followers of Jesus Christ, when people were dying of the disease and everybody else was leaving the town, the Christians, the followers of Jesus Christ, they stayed. And guess what they did? Guess what they did? They looked after the stricken. They looked after the vulnerable. They looked after those who were dying, perishing of the disease. And by so doing, many of them perished themselves. And this courage to serve others, according to Rodney Stark, was the reason, it gave reason to the rise of the movement of Jesus Christ, because they had served others. And how? They believed Jesus, the God King who was born. They served them, he served them, and that's why they were able to serve others. So friends, in conclusion, let us be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. Let us have the courage to bring about words of hope, words service unto others. And may they know that you are followers of Jesus Christ, not by your preaching, not by your words, but by your word, by your actions, your deeds of love and servitude. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, our God and Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus. We receive him now. We follow him now. And we receive the courage that he's giving us to serve others. May this bring glory to your name. For we ask it in the powerful, beautiful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.